What's our theme for the year? Let's try that together. How about it? Okay, we're kind of rusty already. Okay, what's our theme for the year? We will go, I will go. Good, we sound much better in harmony. And the theme comes from the Great Commission, right? The one we talked about this morning. Jesus said what? Go ye into all the world. We will go, I will go. And as I was looking at Mark 16, 15, and 16, originally Brother Ben Gisselbach was supposed to be here with us. And as Larry said, due to budget constraints and things, we decided we would just keep it in-house and do it ourselves. But I originally assigned him these three lessons, okay? Little did I know I would be having to do them, okay? And so, here I is. Doing them. And this second lesson, so as I looked at Mark's Great Commission, the first thing I noticed is the charge, go. But the second thing is the communication. What's to be communicated to the lost? Go ye into all the world and what? Preach the gospel. You see, there is something that is to be communicated to mankind, and it is the gospel, folks. Let me ask you this before we get into the lesson. When you think of preaching the gospel, what comes to your mind? Death, burial, and resurrection. Okay, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is true, and we'll make mention of that in this lesson. But the communication of the gospel is so much more than that. Okay, and that's why I wanted to stop and talk about these things. In fact, we're going to be talking, if we can get through it, 10 things that we are communicating when we preach the gospel. And so that's why you have so much stuff on that one sheet of paper, okay? And we'll do our best to get through it, okay? Number one, when you and I preach the gospel, we preach the good news, folks. The Greek word is what? Well, I've got it there if you can read it. Can anybody read it? Euangelion. Okay? The good news, the glad tidings is what that word literally means. Folks, the word gospel is found, note that, 98 verses of the New Testament. That's a lot, isn't it? Sometimes it's used twice, it's used 104 times in those 98 verses. So the gospel, the word gospel, is a part of the New Testament of Jesus Christ. Now there's three important parts that we'll make in this particular section. Notice the first one. There are other gospels in the world. Do you know that? There are other gospels that are in the world. But guess what? There is only one true gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? Go to Galatians chapter 1 for just a minute. Paul is writing to the Galatian churches and he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him who hath called you unto the grace of God unto another gospel. And then he says this, which is not another. That's confusing, isn't it? He said, you've been moved away to another gospel, which is not another. There's two Greek words there. The first one means this. You have been moved away to another gospel, a gospel of a different kind, which is not another. What he means there is this, which is not another of the same kind. Okay? It's not another of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And you and I have been commissioned to preach which gospel? The other gospels? No, the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, do you think that Islam believes that the Quran is good news? Oh, yeah. Do you think that the Mormon church believes that the Book of Mormon is good news? Oh, yes. Other gospels. Folks, there's only one true gospel of Jesus Christ. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. As I said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. Galatians 1, 8 and 9. There is one gospel that is to be preached, even though there are many out there. Notice point number two. The basic facts of the gospel are the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, what Larry just mentioned. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, make that point very, very clear. Folks, that's the good news. What Jesus did on the cross of Calvary, that's the good news. And not that He just died, but that He also what? Rose again. If He had just died, He would have just been what? A man like us. He'd have been dead, put in the tomb, never to be bothered with again. But He didn't stay there, did He? Third day, He comes out victorious over death. And folks, that's the good news, is that He lives again, doesn't He? Notice point number three there. There will come a day when all men will be judged according to the gospel. Paul says, "For God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the secrets of men by My gospel." Isn't that something? You see, one day we're going to stand before God and the gospel is going to be open. And we're going to be judged by that gospel, the good news. Now, I find it interesting that you would think individuals would want good news, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I mean, one of the things that everybody says, "Oh, I just hate to turn on the news because everything is bad." Right? And somebody has said, "You know, I wish they'd just have one program with good news." You know, we don't even have one program that's got good news on it. Every now and then, they might slip in a little story that makes you feel good. But most part, it's bad news. And people hate bad news. But people love good news, don't they? But guess what? We take the good news to the world, and the majority don't want the good news. You want to know why? Because Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 3 and 4. You see, Satan doesn't want them to believe the good news. So what does he do? He blinds their minds. There's more important things. There's more needful things. This is useless. This is worthless. I don't need this in my life. And so we take this message to them, and guess what? They don't care. "Why, that's silly," they say. "You believe in some man who died on a cross, shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin? That's silly stuff. Who would believe such a message as that?" The world doesn't want the good news. But notice the blessing, Romans 10, 15. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Folks, that's the blessing of God pronounced on our feet if we'll do what? Take the good news to the world. The gospel is what? Good news. Number two, the gospel is Jesus Christ, folks. The gospel is Jesus Christ. It was He who came to the earth, wasn't it? It was He who came in the form and likeness of me, a man. It was He who came and lived a perfect life. It was He who voluntarily gave His life on the cross of Calvary. Remember this morning I read Romans chapter 1, 14 and 15. Verse 15, Paul said, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." So notice that Paul is doing exactly what Jesus commanded to be done. Preach the what? Preach the gospel. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and somebody read verses 1 and 2 to me. Listen to what he preached in Corinth. Who's got it? Wow. Now, remember, he said to the Romans, I'm going to come and I want to preach what to you? I want to preach the gospel. But when he writes back to the Corinthians, he remembers when he came to them, he said, I didn't come with excellency of speech, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and what? Him crucified. Folks, that's the what? That's the gospel. In Acts the 8th chapter, we find an evangelist, not one of the apostles, an evangelist by the name of, anybody know him? No, Acts 8. Stephen's dead in Acts 7. Philip, the evangelist, he's not an apostle, okay? But he goes into Samaria, and Acts 8 verse 5 says this, and he preached, you ready? Christ unto them. A little bit later on, he is called by the Holy Spirit to go join himself to a man of Ethiopia who's reading from the book of Isaiah. And the Bible says this, and he began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Folks, the gospel is who? The gospel is Jesus. When you and I go into individuals' homes and you and I are going to teach them the gospel, guess who we're going to teach them about? We're going to teach them about Jesus. He is the number one subject of the gospel, is he not? And if people don't know about Jesus, then guess what they don't know about? They don't know about the gospel. Number three, I love this. The gospel is love, isn't it? The gospel is love. You see, closely tied to the idea of Jesus is coming to earth is what? The love of God. Why did Jesus come? Because the love of God gave him to us. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It's all about what, folks? It's all about love. Ephesians chapter 2, 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Wow. We turn over to 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. 1 John 4, 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Wow. Folks, when you and I take this book into the home of another person, what we need to remember, I'm taking what to them? I'm taking the love of God into that house, aren't I? Yes, I'm taking the good news. Yes, I'm taking Jesus, but I'm also taking what? The love of God into that particular home. Now, they may reject the love of God, but yet it's the love of God that we're bringing to those individuals. Notice point C there. All right, you don't have that in your outline. I'm sorry, I'm following mine, not yours, okay? You're just kind of having to follow me as I go through. Let me ask you, are we accustomed to thinking about the love of God in the giving of Jesus Christ? Are we pretty accustomed to that? Yeah. If I ask you what emotion sent Jesus to the earth, we would say what? The love of God. And we just kind of accept that. But folks, I want you to listen to what Paul says. He prays for the Ephesians in Ephesians 3. And he says this, I pray that ye may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Now watch this next statement. Which passeth knowledge. It's pretty powerful, isn't it? You see, if you and I sit down and really contemplate and really think about and really try to understand the love of God, you and I cannot ever totally fathom God's love for us. The Bible says it passes what? It passes knowledge. Well, we can preach about it and we can teach on it, what's been revealed, but it is hard for us to wrap our minds around the manifestation of the love of God for us through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's almost impossible for us to fully grasp. I just hope that men grasp it enough to what? To respond to it, don't you? I just hope that the love of God is understood enough by me that I don't just sit there and do nothing, but that I respond in love for the love that was shown me. You see, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. You see, His love was designed to cause me to love Him in return. I can't grasp it fully, can't appreciate it fully, but I can understand it enough that I can love Him in return. And how do I manifest my love toward Him? If you love me. Oh, surely somebody can finish that. Keep my commandments. It's just that simple. Number four, the gospel is forgiveness, folks. Isn't it? The gospel is forgiveness. How do I know that God truly loved me? Because I was a sinner and God wanted to what? Save me. That's how I know. You see, what's the wages of sin? Death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. God didn't want that to happen to me. God doesn't want me to die in my sins. God doesn't want me to be cast out into eternity lost. God doesn't want me to burn in hell forever and ever and ever. When He looks down upon me, guess what He says? I don't want Vic dying in sin. I want to provide a means whereby he can be forgiven of his transgressions. And folks, that's the gospel. We can be forgiven. Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many," somebody finish it, "for the remission of sins." Matthew 26, verse 28. Just a few moments ago, we gathered around this table. We passed out the fruit of the vine. And guess what? Folks, that blood that is represented by that fruit of the vine should have been on my mind. That blood is what forgave me of my transgressions 2,000 years ago upon the cross of Calvary. Notice that Jesus says, "For this is," what's the next word? "My blood." My blood. I just wrote down some things about that blood. Blood of the Son of God, divine blood, royal blood, human blood, perfect blood. I don't have much of that kind of blood coursing through my veins, do you? "My blood," Jesus said. Let me ask you something. Is the forgiveness of sins good news? Guys, you walk up to somebody and you look at them and you say, "Hey, do you know you're a sinner? And do you know that if you continue in sin that you're going to die and be lost eternally in a devil's hell? Do you know that?" Well, guess what? I've got good news for you. You can be what? You can be forgiven. I do not have to serve sin. I do not have to be a slave to sin. I do not have to die in my sins. I do not have to stand before God with my sins. I can be forgiven. And folks, that is definitely what? Good news. That's gospel. That's gospel. I put a note down here in my notes. There is not one sin that the blood of Jesus cannot forgive. There's not one. You know that? There is not something that a man can do so bad that it can't be forgiven. 1 Timothy chapter 1, I know what some of you are thinking. We'd come back to that in another message. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul sets himself up as an example. He said, I was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious to the cause of Christ. Is that pretty bad stuff? Yeah. Persecutor, persecuted God's people. Blasphemer, spoke against the Christ, spoke against the church, spoke against God, spoke against the New Testament. And injurious. I even caused injury to individuals. In fact, not just injury, what? Death. Paul said, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. Paul was what? Forgiven. If you read that text, he says that he was made an example unto them which should hereafter believe on him unto eternal life. Folks, Paul is the example of what it means to be forgiven by the Almighty God. He was a bad man as far as his sins were concerned. And yet, guess what? Paul was forgiven. And if Paul can be forgiven, guess what? Anybody can be forgiven of any sin that he has committed against God. Is that good news? It's good news. You know, I've had some people tell me, I just don't think God can forgive me. Really? That's not true. Oh, yes. That's Satan. Sure. But it's not true. Okay? It's just not true. Now, notice point number 5. What is the gospel? Faith. You see, folks, the words of the gospel were designed for a response from man, and that response is what? Faith. If you were going to translate faith using one word, what would it be? Huh? Yeah, I would go along with what trust. Trust. Okay, that's what faith. Trust what God has said. Okay, here's what God has done. Here's what Jesus has done. God loves me. Jesus shed His blood for me. He will forgive me of every sin, and He wants me to what? Have a faith response to that. He wants me to trust, doesn't He? In Romans 1:17, Paul writes this, for therein, that's in the gospel, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed, listen to this, from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. From faith to faith. What in the world does that mean? Well, the gospel is a system of faith, is it not? We talked about that in our lesson last week on the seven ones. There is one what? One faith. There's one system of faith. And that's the gospel itself. And what does that faith do? What does the faith do? The faith produces faith in those who accept it, right? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The faith produces faith in me. From faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by what? By faith. Folks, faith is the fundamental element of salvation. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. But I noted we're not justified by what? Faith only. Okay? Not by faith only, are we? You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. James 2 verse 24. Both faith causes us to do three things. Are you ready? Number one, believe the facts that God gives us. Has God given us a lot of facts? Yeah. Jesus came to earth. Is that a fact? Yeah. Jesus was born of a virgin. Is that a fact? Yeah. Jesus was born in the city of Bethlehem. A fact? Yeah. Jesus died, was buried, rose again the third day. Is that a fact? Yeah. I believe the facts. Okay. It's all I can do with facts is believe them. Number two, there's promises. Right? You obey the gospel, you receive what? Forgiveness of sins. You stay faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Those are promises, aren't they? Folks, the only thing I can do with a promise is embrace it. You know it? I just hold it fast. Just as tight as I can hold to it, because I know God is what? God is faithful. God cannot lie. And then there are commands. Now my faith responds to facts how? By believing them. It responds to promises how? By embracing them. But what about commands? The only way my faith can respond to a command is by obeying it. Folks, if God gives you a command and you don't obey it, then guess what God thinks? You don't have faith. Do you know that? That's what He thinks. And He's right. You are not manifesting faith in Me if you don't obey My word. Now, we all have to stop and ask ourselves, are we what? Faithful. Because faithful means what? Obedient to the commands of God. If I'm not, I cannot claim faithfulness. It's just that simple. It's pretty powerful stuff. Pretty powerful stuff. Point number 6. Gospel equals what? Grace, folks. Even though we have to obey the commands of God in order to obtain forgiveness, guess what? We will never earn what? Our salvation. Folks, the gospel is a gospel of grace. Paul told the Ephesian elders, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace." Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 2, beginning at verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Now watch verse 12. Teaching us that. Grace teaches, folks. What is it that God uses to teach man? It's the gospel, isn't it? You see, grace teaches us. The gospel is grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Question. Was Jericho a gift to the Israelites? Was it? When you go to Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, God speaking to Joshua says this, "See, I have given into thine hands Jericho." Wow. God says, "I've given you the city of Jericho." Question. Were there conditions that had to be obeyed in order for the city of Jericho to be taken? Oh, yes. The Israelites complied. The walls of the city of Jericho came tumbling down. Question. Did they earn their city? Are you kidding? They didn't earn that city. God gave them that city, even though they complied with the conditions. Folks, just because there are conditions of salvation that God has given today does not mean what? Does not mean that salvation is not a gift from God. Okay? I can never earn what? I can never earn the forgiveness of my sins. I can never earn the fact that one day I will never have to die and be tormented in a devil's hell, but can live eternally with the Almighty. I can't earn that. It's by grace. Wow. Notice point number 7. Grace equals what? Peace. Folks, my sins separate me from who? From God. Romans 8 verse 10 says that while we were enemies of God, you see, my sins alienate me from God. My sins separate me from God. My sins cause me to be an enemy from the Almighty God. He didn't do it. Who did? I did when I what? When I sinned. But guess what? The gospel reconciles us to who? To God. It makes us friendly again. Just listen to a couple of verses. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. See, the gospel is what? Peace. Somebody tells you, I don't want to hear that gospel. Before you leave, just look them in the face and tell them this. Fine. You remain an enemy of God if that's what you want. Because that's exactly what they are. Enemies of God. In Acts chapter 10, 34 through 36, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God hath sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You see, when the apostles went out, guess what they knew they were preaching? We're preaching peace, aren't we? We're preaching peace. Colossians 1:20 through 21, another interesting passage. But folks, here's what's interesting about the peace of God. Not only when we obey the gospel do we have peace with God, we also get peace with who? All other human beings who have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Folks, I'm not at war with any of you. You understand that? I'm not at war with anyone who's a Christian. That's not why God brought us together. God brought us together to bring what among us? Peace. For He is our peace, who hath made both one. Who's the both? Anybody know? That's Jew and Gentile. Did they used to hate each other? Did they used to despise each other? Did they used to talk bad about each other? Did they used to have no fellowship with each other? Yes. For He is our peace, who hath made both Jew and Gentile one. Where? In the body of Christ. Folks, we're not at war with one another. If we are, we got problems, don't we? In the body of Christ. Notice point number 8. We know this one. The gospel is what? Words. Folks, God has communicated the good news to us by means of what? By means of words. Now, let me ask you this. Who wrote the words down? Men did, right? And there's many individuals who believe because this book was handwritten by men that this book comes from who? From man. No. Larry said it right. It was written down by inspired men of God. Paul said, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13. See, the process of inspiration is the Holy Spirit searched out the mind of God, found the words that God wanted communicated, and gave them to inspired men who communicated them to the world, and ultimately what? Wrote them down in the book we have called the Bible. Can we read and understand the Scripture? Yes. How that by revelation, He made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote afore in few words, Paul says. How that when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Folks, the Word of God can be read and what? Understood, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, 3 and 4. Now remember again, it's important to know that the gospel is found in these words because one day, what? These words will judge us, right? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Folks, what's important is what's in the what? In the words. That's what's important. The gospel is what? Truth. Number 9. Are we flying through this? Yep. We're flying through this, aren't we? You're not even getting to talk much. Not today. Several times the gospel is referred to as truth, folks. If Galatians chapter 2, verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. When we speak this book is what? Truth. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about it. Well, that ain't the truth. Yes, it is. No matter what you say about it. That's truth. Because who gave it? God. That's why it's truth. This is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 5. For the hope of the gospel which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Folks, this book doesn't contain any lies. Okay? This book doesn't contain any fiction whatsoever. This book is not a myth. This book is not a fable. This book is not a fantasy. This book is what? Absolute, 100% truth. It's right. And the world needs to know that, don't they? On one occasion, Paul was standing before Felix, and he was preaching the gospel, and old Felix looks over there at Paul. He says, Paul, much learning hath made thee mad. And there are some people who think we're crazy because we preach the truth, right? You know what Paul said? I am not mad, most noble Felix. But the words that I speak are soberness and truth. See, Felix, he didn't get it, did he? But Paul still said, no, I'm not crazy. This is truth. Number 10, wow. Folks, the gospel is what? It's hope. It's hope. Listen to this. For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the what? In the word of the truth of the gospel. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Folk, hope involves a lot of things, you know it. Is hope something that we have yet? No. We don't have it yet, do we? The Bible says that a farmer plows in hope. What's he hope for? He hopes for a good crop, doesn't he? But he doesn't have it yet. But he plows in hope, expecting it, desiring it, but he doesn't have it yet. That's the way our hope is. Is second coming of Jesus part of our hope? Yeah. We're all going to die, but is resurrection part of our hope? Yeah. You know, we got some pretty flimsy, frail, sick bodies, don't we? You want another one? You want a better one? You want a heavenly body? I do. That's part of your hope. You know that? Heaven? Different place than this place? Sure, I want that. What about eternal life? Folks, once you're there, guess what? It never ends. Now, I want you to think about, look at the conclusion. I didn't put all this in your notes. Preaching the gospel involves many things. When you walk into a house to preach the gospel to someone, you're preaching good news. You're preaching Christ Jesus. You're preaching the love of God. You're preaching the forgiveness of sins. You're preaching faith, grace, peace. You're proclaiming the Word of God. You're teaching that individual absolute truth. And you're giving to that individual hope beyond this world. That's what preaching the gospel is about. It isn't a matter of just going to a door and, I want to study with you. That's kind of the attitude that we've taken toward it. You know what? It's more important than that, folks. You know what? I want to bring something to you that you need desperately. Not only in this world, but in the world to come. Close with three verses. First is Paul. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Did you hear what he just said? As much as is in me is, as much energy as I can put into it, I'm ready to preach the gospel. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Romans 10:15. And then that passage we mentioned this morning in 1 Corinthians 9:16, Paul says, woe unto me if I what? Preach not the gospel. Folks, I hope that you and I can feel that burden and that weight as well in 2020. Woe unto us if we fail to preach.